The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. Go spread the tidings round. Wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. Maybe you don't know this song. This is one of those old-time revival songs when we want to baptize people with the Holy Ghost. And it's the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. God promised that He will send the Holy Ghost to be with you and with me permanently, forever. So that's why it's a song that the Lord just wanted me to sing as a song. I said, well, that's the only song that comes to my mind when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Let's say it again. He said, the Comforter has come. Because when you remember in the Bible, it said, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So from that day that the Holy Ghost came upon them, that song was in line. They created that song to say, the Comforter has now come. Now just ask for Him to come and infill you. Okay? Like I asked before some of the new people come, how many have been filled with the Holy Ghost? About 50%. So the Lord can fill you today if you have your heart open. It's not me that filled anybody. It's not any pastor. It is the Lord Jesus. That is the ministry that He only holds in His hand to fill people with the Holy Ghost. Only Jesus does that. However, He sends ministers to do it. They said when in one day, on the day of Pentecost, after the Pentecost, and the Philip, the evangelist, went to Samaria and preached, and they were baptized in water. And then when the disciples or the elders in Jerusalem heard about it, that, oh, they have now been baptized in water, but they have not received the Holy Ghost, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. And Peter and John came and lay hands upon them. Not Peter. He doesn't baptize, but Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost. But Peter and John, being the elders, they came and they lay hands and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't know that, it's in the book of Acts. We're going to point to it in a few minutes, but I'm already starting my exhortation as the Lord lives. So, remember that was the story when one guy who was among the people that were being baptized heard, wow, this elder from Jerusalem, he wanted that power to be able to lay hands upon people and the Holy Ghost will come upon them. So he offered Peter money. Came behind and said, Peter, give me this power. Here's money. Because the man was a trader. The Bible says it was Simon the sorcerer. That was his business. He wanted supernatural. And Peter said, your money perish with you. This is the gift of God. It's not by, you don't buy anything from God. And to show that it was not Peter that baptizes with the Holy Ghost, the next episode, Cornelius was a centurion and he called, angel appeared to centurion and said, call for Peter. Peter came by there and when Peter was just talking to them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And Peter said, well, now I remember it is the Lord Jesus said, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you are surprised that this is what is, you are not prepared. If you want the Holy Ghost, you don't have to prepare. You just have to be born again. Okay? You just have to belong to Jesus. If you belong to Him and your heart is ready, He can fill with the Holy Ghost. As simple as that. Amen? Amen? So that is for those who have not received the Holy Ghost at all. But my message today is going to be gifts of the Holy Ghost. For you that have received the Holy Ghost and you want extra gifts. And that's what we are going to talk about. Let's bow our head and pray. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus upon us. I plead the blood of Jesus and I pray, Lord, that you that have given this word, you will come and minister to your people at the end of this presentation in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and fill us and refill us and give us the gifts of the Holy Ghost. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Open to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. From verse 1, I'm always going to point to some Bible verses as we go along. Like we said, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's what we are going to talk about. Now, remember one thing. There is gifts of the Holy Ghost and there is fruit of the Spirit. There is gift and there is fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it has attributes. Joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, faith, meekness, temperance. But you see, one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it gave all the attributes of love. Those are all the attributes of love. Even though it was written in 1 Corinthians or Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, where it said the fruit is love, joy, peace, is fruit, not fruits. But see, when you see God is love, and God said he is also long-suffering, when he declared, so those are the attributes of love. Gentleness, meekness, patience, faith. Those are all the attributes. Now, let's think about what the Lord Jesus Christ talked about when he said he is the vine, and he said we are the branches. The Lord Jesus said, I am the true vine, but we disciples are the branches. And where do you find the branch of a tree, of a physical tree? You see the branches are coming from the stem of the tree. And where do you find the fruit of a tree? On the branch. Amen? So we, you and I, we are to produce fruit. Remember that. But the gifts of the Holy Ghost, they are called gifts, which the Holy Spirit in you will produce and manifest. But something very important is that you can also lose gifts. You can lose gifts. Somebody can give you a ring, and you can say, oh, thank you, you put it on your finger, and one time you take it out because you want to put your hand in some soapy water, and you put it away, and you forget about where you can lose a gift. These gifts of the Holy Ghost can be lost if you don't use them. But you don't lose the Holy Ghost, you can lose the gifts. Very important that you need to stir up the gift. Sometimes you have to stir it up so that you don't lose them. But let's talk about these gifts of the Holy Ghost that he has put in the church. That Apostle Paul said you have to covet earnestly the best of the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read from verse 1. If you want to put it on the screen. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. One Spirit. Let me emphasize that. One Spirit. That is, you don't have so many spirits of this and that. It's one Spirit, the Holy Ghost. It's one. Just like a human being is one. See, as you are seeing me right now, I'm just one person. But I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear. I have nose to smell. I have hands to feel. So those are all what? My senses. My parts. The Holy Ghost is one, but he has eyes to see, he has ears to hear, he has feeling, he has all of those things. Those are all the senses that he can turn on in you. So he can make you have wisdom, he can make you have knowledge. These are all senses that the Holy Ghost can turn on in you when he is in you. He doesn't turn everything on. And that is what these gifts are, and let's talk about them. And this is what the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 5 or verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now verse 7 said, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with it. So one is given by the Spirit. Now, these are the gifts of the Holy Ghost that I'm going to expatiate on. Let me first read through them, and then we go one by one through these gifts to make you desire it. So what is the purpose of describing them? I'm going to describe how they were used in the scriptures, with examples, or in our daily life, or in our current life with examples, each gift. And that is to make you desire it. Bible supposed to say in a place, covet, covet earnestly the best gifts. Okay? Verse 8 says, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. See, but all this worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Praise ye the Lord. So I just read that part to show you what are these gifts. I'm going to go through one by one each gift and give examples of how it was used in the Bible, how it has even been used even in our generation. If the Lord reminds me of any testimony, I will put it in. But we're just going to concentrate on samples in the Bible of how. Now why is it very important for us to talk about this today? The revival that the Lord promised is about to start, or it's already on the way, or it's already starting. Amen. From what I've been seeing in the Spirit, that's what I'm telling you right now. For quite some time, I've not been going out witnessing. The Lord now laid upon me to start going out. And I've noticed, our sister here, I've been saying, let's go and witness. The Lord just said to me, go out, start. So I went with my wife, went to the mall, talked to a few guys that will listen, anybody that wants to talk, talk. And as we begin to do that, the same night, the Lord told me that keep doing it, because is about to start what is going to be, and this is what is coming to happen. This is the revival. It's not going to be just in buildings like churches. It's going to be in the streets. The Lord has showed that over this third time, the third week that we have seen it. It's not going to be just some ministers alone. He's telling, I'm going to tell you right now, put it upon yourself if you have not. Put it upon yourself to begin to be ready to speak for Christ. Wherever you find yourself, wherever you find yourself, you are in the grocery store, hey, when the Holy Ghost comes upon people, it's going to make it, it'll give you the boldness. Just tell them what the Lord has done for you. This is what I saw in the Spirit. This is what I saw in the Spirit. Right in like a mall, a parking place, people are testifying. Some people are being healed. Some people are talking, because it's not just one man minister or going around, it's everybody that is a believer. The Holy Ghost is going to begin to move upon your life. That when you say it, it's going to happen. You say, well, yeah, I don't have this power yet. It's not you that's going to be doing it. Your own part, I'm going to talk about your own part first. Your part in this is for you to get yourself ready, clean, so that you, after all this revival is over, it's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a rapture of the saints. Your part is to pray that you don't miss that rapture. The miracle that God is going to do through you saying something about Jesus, it's going to be Jesus doing it, not you. But he's about to start doing that right now. And when he's doing that, that's when the people even say, well, we did something in your name. Say, yeah, but I never really knew you. He will honor his name when that time starts. But does he know you? Are you working for him? Are you walking in line with him? That is very important for you, that you are right, that you are following Christ, that you are born again, that you are cleansed, that you are following the scriptures. That is you. That is what's going to take you out of it with him in the rapture. The miracles will happen when you open your mouth and say it, because you belong to him. But now you are saying that miracle will happen through you does not mean that you are ready. So that's why I'm first telling you that part of it. Get yourself ready, for Christ is coming at the end of all these things we are talking about. Now these gifts will begin to operate in people, in believers. This gift I just mentioned here, that I'm going to describe one by one, is going to begin to operate heavily. We may be stepping into the water and then it's going to escalate, until the government will step into it and want to stop it. This is prophesied. It has already been prophesied before this time by prophets, that this mighty revival is coming. Now, maybe you have not been watching the news. I just read the news last week in Cameroon. You know where Cameroon is? It's in Africa. It was in the news. Believers, churches, Pentecostal churches, let's call them, that are already doing some things like I'm talking about here, where they are praying for the sick. And the government shut it down, say, all these Pentecostal churches, shut down. You are all deceiving people. Well, that is going to take place even in this country, where it's going to be, when this revival I'm describing begins to go forth and everybody is performing miracles in the streets. Not in the churches, in the streets. Healing in the streets. When they begin to happen, what do you think will happen? People will go to the hospital and hospitals are being discharged. What do you think the hospital administration will do? They will say, don't let these guys come to our hospital anymore. We are not making any more money. And so there will be a persecution against these things when the Lord will begin to do it. And God is not going to stop the persecution. I want you to know that up front. The persecution will occur. They will stop praying. In fact, Evangelist Neil Frisbee, before he died, he mentioned something like that. He said, there's coming a time, which means in this country, when they will forbid people to pray for the sick. And that is what I'm telling you up front, that when this revival begins to sweep and the Lord begins to perform these wonders, they will forbid people to pray for the sick. Hospital will say, we don't want them to come to our hospital. Why? Because they are discharging people when the doctors have not been paid. You know then that in capitalism, they don't like that. And that is why they will come against it, government. In Cameroon, they just started something like that and shut down the Pentecostal churches, where they let the Catholic continue. It's not religion. Only those who are believing in powers of miracles. And somebody said, well, maybe it's because the miracles were not really happening. These people were just... Even when the miracles happened in the book of Acts of the Apostles, Apostle Paul just made a lame man to walk after that. What happened? They stoned Apostle Paul. So don't think it's because miracles didn't happen in Cameroon. These people were deceivers. That's why the government shut it down. It's just the beginning of it. They will have some reason to oppose it. Now, when the miracles were happening, or like I said, in America, it will be happening. People will go to the hospitals and pray for the sick, and the people say, I'm healed, I want to get out, discharged. But he just came in. He has not paid for one day, but they were expecting him to pay for 3 days, 4 days. No? Then the hospitals are not making money. Then you will know what capitalism will do. They will rise up against it. It's coming. It's coming. Well, you may say, this is by the way, but I'm going to talk about the gifts, because the gifts of the Holy Ghost is going to precede all of these things. Because without the gifts, the Lord will not be able to do what he wanted to do. And that's why he's saying, talk about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now you say, well, oh, I don't want it then. If you say you don't want it, that means you don't want to be persecuted. You better want it, because this is what is going to get you out of here, the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be born again. And if you are born again, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you need the gifts of the Holy Ghost to participate and partake in this revival we are talking about. But during the revival, this is another warning I'm pointing out before I go into this message. It's what the Lord showed to me many years ago when I was still in Africa, that when the revival is going on, some people can be caught up into the revival that they forget the goal. The goal is we are going away from here. That's why I'm bringing that up front. Don't forget that goal. Our goal is the rapture. That is for the believers. People will be so caught up in the excitement, miracles, wonder that they forget the goal. Our goal for believers is we want to get out of here in the rapture to go with Jesus. Because in the kick of it all is when he's going to call his own people. And like I said, what will make you be ready? Your lifestyle. You are walking with him. You are abiding in the vine. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. And that brings the Bible verse that said, like I said, it said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Christ is the vine, we are the branches. And I was sharing that with my family, I think yesterday. So what do you think? Christ said, if a branch does not bear fruit, it will be cut down and then withered and thrown into the fire. So if we are to bear fruit for Jesus, that's why I first talk about the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is what is going to carry us out of here. The fruit of the Spirit is going to carry us out of here with him. So that fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all this goodness, faith. So when you say I'm exercising faith, it is because you are bearing that, showing that fruit. So let's go into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like we said. We have read wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are all the gifts. Let's go one by one. Wisdom, the word of wisdom. What is this word of wisdom? Example of how it has been used in the scriptures. We see the story of Solomon. Give me 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Let's see how Solomon used wisdom that God gave to him. These are gifts, special gifts now. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 16. Here the story told us that Solomon, when he became king, he went to sacrifice, and the Lord said, ask me something, whatever you ask. And Solomon asked for wisdom. You all know the story. And God gave him that wisdom and said, I will even give you more than wisdom. This story was recorded as an example of when Solomon started to use that wisdom. After that, you can remember he wrote books and all those, the book of Proverbs were written by Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and so on. And many other things that they couldn't even figure out, because they said he talked about things that are not known. Science, things of science that nobody knew about it. He talked about animals in the sea that nobody has seen, the wisdom that God gave to him. Now, this example here, there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. Verse 17. And the one woman said, oh my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And he said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they speak before the king. Now, that was the dilemma that came to them, and then Solomon was going to use his wisdom. Now, how does the word of wisdom operate? In the story of Solomon here, the Lord simply put some things in his mouth. You may say, well, maybe he has already figured it out. No, you don't have to figure it out. It's almost like when the Lord Jesus Christ said, when they will bring you before kings, don't even premeditate what you are going to say. The Holy Ghost will put the word into your mouth. And then the follow-up word also will put. So that is how the word of wisdom operates. It's not something like I studied psychology. If you study psychology, those are all human wisdom. But this Holy Ghost wisdom comes from the Holy Ghost. You don't really plan or premeditate it. The situation comes and the Holy Ghost just spoke. And then they reacted and he gave another word. And this is what you see here. And now the people went down, they feared Solomon when they saw that. Wow, oh, God was speaking through his mouth. Then said the king, verse 23, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other said, nay, but my son is thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. You think he planned that? He didn't plan that. The Holy Ghost just put out his mouth and said, bring me a sword. Let's just divide it between the two of you. And they brought the sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. Give half to the one and half to the other. Let's just resolve it that way. Everybody will say, well, if that comes to me, I would do the same thing. Let's see who's going to react. But Solomon didn't plan that. He didn't even plan who's going to react or anything. He just spoke as the Holy Ghost spoke. And then the reaction came, And the Holy Ghost say, that's the one that holds the child. So that is word of wisdom. Verse 26, then speak the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearn upon her son. And she said, oh my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Amen?
Amen.
And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Now, that is an example of how the Lord showed us how wisdom operates. Now, did you get it? Asking the Lord. Amen. You know, the scripture said, if anybody lack wisdom, let him ask from God, who giveth him, giveth all. Let's see the word of knowledge. We talk about wisdom. There are many ways, examples that you can give. Let's go to the word of knowledge. John chapter 4. Now, many people in our generation believe they have been operating the word of knowledge. And let's see how the Lord Jesus used it. John chapter 4, verse 15. This is the story of when the Lord Jesus Christ was with at the well with this woman of Samaria. I'm going to read verse 15 to 18, John chapter 4. Now we all know the story. This woman came, and the Lord Jesus Christ was sitting on the well waiting, and the woman came to fetch water. And the Lord started talking to the woman and said, give me some water to drink. And they exchanged some few words, like you all know that story. And verse 15, the Lord Jesus told the woman that he had a water that if I give you my water, you will never thirst again. That's leading to where the Lord was going to use the word of wisdom. Finally, the woman in verse 15 said, sir, give me this water that you talk about, that I thirst not, neither come either to draw. Okay? So Jesus Christ said unto her, all right, go, call thy husband and come either. You can see, I don't need to read the whole story. Many of us know the story of the woman at the well. But the Lord was leading her to where he used the word of wisdom. Okay, go call your husband. The Lord was going to lead her to where she knew the woman already. And the woman said, I have no husband. So now this is the word of knowledge that the Lord was using. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And thou sayest thou truly. Now say, how does he know that? How did he know that?
Now praise the Lord. This is Brother Julius Adewumi inviting you to accept the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are a Christian that has been listening to this radio broadcast, I challenge you and I urge you to aspire to the goal of overcomers. Be zealous for more of God. Ask the Lord to increase your faith, to build you up spiritually, and pray for the gifts of the Holy Ghost to increase and intensify in you so that you can come to the stature, to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That is our goal as believers. Now, if you that is listening to me, you are not a Christian, or you are just a church member, you are a church goer trying to do good, but you are not really born again. You don't even know what it means to be born again. You are not sure whether you have been washed from your sins. I invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. And I want to pray for you right now so that you can be assured of your salvation, and so that your heart and your faith and your spirit can begin to believe the word of God. The word of God specifically says, anyone that believes in me, anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal life. You have got to believe that utterance of Jesus and then invite Jesus to come out, take over your life, because he gives a power into the believers that he calls being born again. And it is this power that rejuvenates us from within, that makes us to be a new creature in Christ. The Bible said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 12. Father, I pray for all the people that are listening. Help them, Lord Jesus Christ, to begin to follow the word of God, to begin to read the scriptures and to understand and obey it. And let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive ye the Holy Ghost today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want you to write to me and I will send you some literature that will be edifying to you.
Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.